dua a person makes, his dua will not be rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some say it is between the two khutbahs of the Jummah Salah. Some say it is between Maghrib, Asr and between Asr and Maghrib. Some say it's any moment during the day. So let us try on Fridays, try our best to always be engaging ourselves in dua. Always remember that a person, dua is always a win-win for a believer. A person makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there can be no loss. Either Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him whatever he wants, whatever he was asking for, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant it to him. The second thing that can happen is a person, he's asking for a certain thing, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give it to him, but he gives it to him at a later stage. So he's still winning there. And the third thing that can happen is that he does not get it at all. He's making dua for something, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not grant it to him. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him reward. And ulama mentioned that when a person, when he goes and he sees the sawab and the reward for dua, then he will wish that the rewards will be so much that he will wish that none of his du'as in this world were ever accepted. That I wish that none of my du'as were accepted so I could get this amount of reward that I receive now. So we all know that it is the Mubarak days of Hajj, and as we might have known already that one of the Hujjaj, one of the Hajis from Durban, he has passed away in Makkah. What a Mubarak death on a Friday, during the days of Hajj, in Zulhijjah, after performing Umrah, after making Ziyarat. And they say he was, the same day he was helping, young person, 26, 27 years old, he was helping, serving the people, carrying water, offloading the truck. He was very active in serving and helping the Hujjaj in the community. But in the middle of the night he fell ill, got transported to the hospital, and he passed away. And he took his mother with him for Hajj. He was very excited to take his mother with him, and now he has left this world. So we never know when our time is coming. Always be prepared, always remain in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And during these days of Hajj, let us keep the lessons of the days of Hajj. We all, nowadays we talk about the atmosphere of Qurbani. We want the atmosphere of Qurbani in our homes. Well, that's well and good. That is excellent. We must have the atmosphere of Qurbani. But what we must not forget is the spirit of Qurbani. What is the spirit of Qurbani? The spirit of Ibrahim alayhi salam, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to slaughter his son, and it comes in the Quran Sharif, إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told that, submit to me, submit to my command. قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Ibrahim alayhi salam said, I submit to the Rabb of the worlds. And he was, for so long, Ibrahim alayhi salam, you all know the story, he was trying to have a son for so long. And eventually when he was granted a son, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to slaughter his son. And comes in the Quran Sharif, the story goes further, the ayat comes, فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded them, then father and son, both, they both accepted the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ismail alayhi salam, he said, well, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands, you can carry it out. Satajiduni insha'Allahu minas sabirin, that you will find me from the patient ones. I will make sabr and I will obey the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the ayat carries on, watallahu lil jabin, and Ibrahim alayhi salam placed him on the ground and placed the neck on the back of his, placed the knife on the back of Ismail alayhi salam's neck. And we all know what happens afterwards, the ram came from Jannah, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved this action and the submission of Ibrahim alayhi salam so much that he mentions it in the Quran. Not only that, but Muslims around the world, every single Muslim who is able is ordered to practice on this amal and this ibadah of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Also the Hajj, Ibrahim alayhi salam did the Hajj. So, two ibadat of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves so much that even till today, it is still practiced upon. So the spirit of qurbani we are speaking about is what? It's submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That how we can submit ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you think about it, how the world works, we are always submitted to someone or the other. A small child he has to submit to his parents, he has to be under the guide of his parents. A young child, he goes to school, he has to submit to his teachers. The teachers have to submit to the principal. The school has to submit to the laws of the government. When a person gets older, he gets a job, he has to submit to his boss. He has a company, he has to submit to his suppliers, etc. If they have to stop supplying him, he's at their mercy. And all businesses have to submit to the laws of the government. So we all are submitted in some way or the other. So let us, if you look at the spiritual side, we can either be submitted to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or we can be submissive to nafs and shaitan. So we should, like how we are making qurbani on the day of Eid, we should also make qurbani of our nafs. Put one leg on shaitan, and we should slaughter our nafs and submit ourselves to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's mentioned that the fight between a man and his evil desires and shaitan is a fight that will last till death. Every moment of the day, nafs and shaitan are trying to call a person to evil, call a person to sin. So we need to make qurbanya of that nafs. And we might want to do a certain action, we might want to do a certain sin, but we should try our level best to make qurbanya of that nafs and stay away from that sin. And for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no other reason. If you have to look at the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, what submission they had into their lives, how they submitted themselves to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and their commands. When the prohibition of wine came down, at first, look at the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Islam didn't come all at once. All the laws did not come at once. The laws came as time went on, as the iman of people grew stronger and the strength of Islam grew, then the commands started coming. So at first wine was not prohibited, but when the command of the prohibition of wine came, then it was announced that now wine is as and alcohol is impermissible. So it is mentioned that the streets, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, when they heard this, whatever alcohol they had, they destroyed, they threw away. It is mentioned that the streets were flowing with wine and alcohol. That's how much was being thrown out. That Sahabi who had it in his hand, he immediately threw it down. That Sahabi who had it in his mouth, he immediately spat it out. That, to that level, they submitted themselves to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you have to look at the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, when the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when they took the pledge of allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they put their hand in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hand, and they said, Ya Rasulullah, if you want us to fight, we will fight. We will fight until either we win or we are martyred. We are ready to lay down our lives for you. If you want us to jump in the ocean, we will also jump in the ocean. Whatever is your command, we are ready to submit ourselves all to you. Look at the level of the iman. So we are not asking to submit to such a level as Sahaba radiallahu anhum did. But simple things, day to day, laws of Sharia, we should try and submit ourselves to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us not be governed by our intellect. Sometimes a person might think that why must I make qurbani like this? Why this should be done like that? A person's intellect should be governed by the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it should be complete trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands, only He knows. Many things Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned 1400 years ago, at that time, throughout the years, people might say, what is the point of this? But now, recently, the miswak, for example, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded us 1400 years ago about the miswak. Now, only recently, in the last few years, people, people are discovering, the Western world is discovering the benefits of the miswak. This we already knew 1400 years ago. And we should always think of, take an example of a diamond. If a person is mining for that diamond, so when the person gets that diamond, then it is, doesn't look like a diamond. It looks like a rock. But now, if that diamond, it needs to be cleaned, it needs to be it needs to go through a lot of processes, it needs to be scrubbed, all chemicals need to be put over it, it needs to be cut, it needs to be shaped, it needs to be polished. But if that diamond says, then I don't want to go through all this, it's too hard, this cutting diamond, don't cut me, don't put me through such chemicals, do not aggressively scrub me and wash me, don't put me in the hot smelting fire, I don't want to go through all this difficulty, what will happen? The diamond will still remain looking like a rock. No one wants to purchase the diamond. But if the diamond wholeheartedly submits itself to whatever processes it has been told to go through, in the end of the day, you go to the jeweler shop, you look at that diamond, beautiful, beautiful diamond. People will spend millions and hundreds of thousands of that diamond. So in the same way, let us look at ourselves like that. That if we command, if we submit ourselves to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will end up, inshallah, like the shining diamond. And we will gain entry into Jannah. There's a story mentioned about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about one Ansari woman. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to her father and said, will you accept a proposal for your daughter? So this Ansari became very happy. He said, yeah, of course, I would definitely accept a proposal for my daughter. He was under assumption that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was talking about himself. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no, I am asking on behalf of Julaybib, a certain Sahabi. Now Julaybib was a little bit of a short Sahabi, and he was not very good looking. He didn't have the best of features. So this person said, the Sahabi said, you know what, let me go and make mashura with my wife. Let me go and speak to my wife. So he goes home and he tells the wife that this is the story. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is proposing on behalf of Julaybib. So his wife wasn't too thrilled. She said, we have rejected proposals from much better prospects and much better men. Why must we now accept the proposal of Julaybib? So his daughter was behind the curtain and she heard this whole conversation and she said, if Rasulullah, she said, how can we disobey and go against the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? If Rasulullah, it is coming from directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the greatest after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest of mankind, I submit myself and I agree to this proposal. I want to get married. I accept this proposal. So the parents, after hearing this, they realized that it is right what she is saying. So they accepted the proposal. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became very happy and gave her a lot of du'as and made a lot of du'as for her. Eventually, in one battle, Julaybib was martyred. And after the battle, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba are going around looking for the martyrs. So he asked that, where is Julaybib? So the Sahabi brought him and they showed that Julaybib had been martyred and been slain in the battle, and he was surrounded by 7 disbelievers. So he took out 7 disbelievers and then he passed away. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became so happy with the Sahabi. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what they used to do with the martyrs, they used to put them on a bier and they would carry them to the graves. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with his own hands, he carried Julaybib. With his own hands he carried and he said, oh Julaybib, I am from him and he is from me. We are one. Imagine saying the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying this about a person. And it is mentioned regarding that woman, that she became the most sought after widow after that. She was, everyone wanted to propose for this woman. Such honor she received. What was the reason? She submitted herself to the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's another story mentioned about, an incident mentioned about the Ansar, that they used to lease their shops and their properties in a certain way in Medina. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which was impermissible. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to Medina and he explained to them that this is incorrect, it needs to be done in a certain way. So when they realized this, even though the first way was more profitable, the second way was not so profitable. But they said, no, for us, this the first, second way is more profitable because it is most pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So immediately they submitted. So you should take lesson from this that us, when it comes to our working and our businesses, etc., if salah time comes in, then a person should, he knows that salah time has come in, so he should immediately go and perform his salah. Not delay your salah. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the salah gets missed. So we should always, even though we are busy at work or in the business or whatever we are, always make time and try and perform our salah on time. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that for those who submit, وَبَشِّرِ الْمُخْبِتِينَ, that give glad tidings for the one who submit. The ones who submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is nothing but everlasting bliss in the gardens of Jannah. So there's a few things that a person can look at himself and say that how submissive am I to Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there's a few things that ulama have mentioned. The first one, this ayat come in the Quran, that Alladina idha dukirallahu wajinat qulubum. That when a person, when he hears the ayat of the Quran, when he hears the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gets overawed and his heart trembles. And he thinks of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ayat remind him of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An example, if a person is driving, he's driving down the highway and he's going over the speed limit, cruising down the highway, and suddenly he just sees that shine of that fluorescent, that uniform of the police officer. Immediately what happens? He hits the brakes because he knows the police are here. They are trapping. So immediately he applies the brakes and slows down. But, so in the same way, like how when a person, because of the awe of that police officer, you just saw his uniform, or you just saw a police car, and then awe made you press the brakes and you slowed down. In the same way, for us to have our understanding, the same way, when a person is about to do sin, he's about to do something that is impermissible, he's about to do something that is going to displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when he thinks of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he should also apply the brakes. It should have the same effect. Apply the brakes and stay away from that sin. Another thing is that is mentioned is وَالصَّابِرِينَ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَهُمْ, that people who are submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of their qualities is they are steadfast and they are patient and they are forbearing through calamities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us in this world. We are all here for a short period of time as a test. It is mentioned, الدُّنْيَا سِجْنُ الْمُؤْمِنِ وَجَنَّةُ الْكَافِرِ, that this dunya, this world, we only here, for a believer, it is a prison. In a prison has a lot of restrictions. He can't do this, can't do that. He can only do certain things. And for the disbeliever, it is a paradise. So that is sufficient itself. And a person, as a believer, if a person is finding something hard, is in difficulty all the time, then you should remember that all this is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why it is much easier for a Muslim to stay optimistic. It is much easier for a disbeliever to fall into depression, to get anxiety, etc. Because for them, this world is the be-all and the end-all. If they don't make it in this world, then they have failed. They're having a miserable life. For them, this is the end-all and the be-all. But for us, it's just a transitional phase. We know that we're only going to be here for a few moments. This world is likened to a waiting room. A person goes to a doctor, then he's only there in the waiting room for a little while. He won't take his bed and go in the waiting room. He won't take his big, big fancy clothes in the waiting room. He won't take all his luxuries with him. No, he'll just take a few snacks, something, few 1-2 hours he's going to be there only. So he's not going, he's only going to take what he needs. Or he's only going to take the essentials. In the same way, this world is similar to a waiting room. We are just waiting for our turn to pass away and to go into the akhirah. So while we are here, let us not be chasing after luxuries. Let us turn our focus and submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third quality of a person who submitted to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wal muqim is salah, and he performs his salah. And if you look at the Arabic, wal muqim is salah, aqim, the word aqim is used. It is not, does not mean perform salah. No, aqim means establish. So don't just read namaz. Establish your salah. Make it a firm routine in your life. A person, whenever he plans his day, it should not be such that his day is planned. This is what I need to do. This is my errands. I need to go to work. This, that, I need to go here. I need to go to the shop. And in between, I'll just read my salah wherever I get time. Whenever I find the opportunity, wherever I am, I'll just read my salah. No. Establish salah. Meaning, your salah comes first. This is where I'm going to read my salah. And after that, in those gaps, whatever work I need to do, I can do. So we should prioritize our salah. And the last quality he mentioned is وَمِمَّا رَزَقَنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, and the person who is generous, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him, then he spends from that. A story is mentioned about Abdullah bin Mubarak, that a person came to him and he had a severe boil on his knee. So this boil, he had it for 7 years, he had this boil on his knee. He tried every single treatment in the book. Many doctors saw him, ointments, treatments, medication. Nothing was working. So then he was told that, give some sadaqah. So what he did was, he dug a well. This person, he dug a well in a place where there was no wells. There was a lack of water in that area. So he's from his own pocket, he built a well and he dug a well for those people. As soon as the water came gushing out from the ground and people started taking benefit from that water, his boil was cured. So, and Rasulullah is mentioned in a hadith that protect your wealth with zakat, cure your sick with sadaqah, and remove calamities through dua. So we mentioned in the beginning also about dua. So if a person, he has some need, he has some ailment, so try and give sadaqah. And when a person gives zakat, then his wealth, whatever wealth he has remaining, it is protected. When there was a person that his house caught fire and everything was burnt and he had a lot of valuables in that house. And eventually they were very worried because all the valuables are in the house. So they went and after the fire everything was extinguished. Then they went to check in the house for the valuables and they found it untouched. Perfect condition. Nothing was damaged from those valuables. And the person said, this is a barakat of paying zakat on time. His zakat, he made sure every year his zakat was paid on time. And everything in the house was destroyed, but his wealth and his valuables were kept intact. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to be submissive to his commands and to help us make qurbani of that nafs. And may he grant us a very beneficial and joyous Eid, and we all have a good Eid, and remember to be submissive to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may he grant us all entry into Jannat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.